Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Sentry Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, where I get to speak to people all over the world about what they do with WordPress. And I always forget to introduce myself. I already told you I was going to do that. So my name is Michelle Frechette. I am the podcast barista serving up the coffee here with my guests. And today my guest is Leslie Sim. Leslie, welcome. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. It's super early in your morning. It's the end of my day. So we were just talking. I have water in my cup. I'm going to guess that you have something else, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. And you are in Singapore and I'm in New York, of course. So that's why we're at the opposite ends of our days, but it's so good to have you here. And I'm so glad that you posted something on Twitter about looking for opportunities. And I was like, hey, I have a podcast, come on mine. And that worked out really well. That's so super cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I run a plugin called Newsletter Glue. We started middle of last year and it's been going pretty well so far. We launched with a free plugin first and then a paid plugin later in the, like towards the end of the year. But I should probably tell you what the plugin actually does. So the plugin Newsletter Glue, it connects email service providers like MailChimp, MailerLite. We have a bunch now, Campaign Monitor, ActiveCampaign, Sendinblue, yeah. And lets you send newsletters from WordPress instead of having to use their newsletter builders. So it's faster, you get to use Gutenberg blocks. We have a bunch of our own pro blocks and you get to send a fancy looking newsletter in, you know, minutes, not hours. So, yeah.
Wow. I was taking a look at your website a little bit earlier and you have some nice testimonials on there from a lot of people that I know and recognize. So that speaks volumes, of course. And I'm going to want to check it out myself afterwards too and see what it looks like. And I have to say your pricing model is very, very modest as well. So it really is affordable for people to be able to use your product and get it on the ground floor.
Michelle.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'd love to give you a tour.
I'd love to see it. So maybe we'll have to schedule another appointment at the beginning of your day and the end of my day so we can take a look at it together. So tell us about your mug. I always ask everybody that to have a mug on here and I saw you're drinking. So show us your mug and tell us what if there's something special about it and what you're drinking today.
So I've watched your podcast before, so I was prepared.
Good.
This is the mug that I use every day. It was given to me from a client's aunt. So like as these things go, right? Like my client's, I guess like he's the CTO in his company. And so, you know, he becomes like the designated techie in his family. And so his aunt was like, who's, I don't know, you know, probably a lot older, had started coming to him for all of her random techie needs. And then I guess he got sick of it. So he handed her off to me. Yeah, and then so I went to her house and like helped her. I think it was like update her Apple ID password or something. I don't know.
And something simple, and right?
And so she was, you know, she was nice and she gave me this mug.
Oh, that's so sweet. And what are you drinking today?
I'm drinking Earl Grey.
Very good. That's a nice robust tea to start your day. I have my world's best boss mug today.
Nice.
And the back is Dunder Mifflin, so you can know it's from The Office, the television show. And because it's the end of my day and I'd like to sleep today, I have water in my mug tonight. So if I had coffee or tea right now, I would be awake all night. So that was not a good idea. So tell us, how did you get started with WordPress?
I got started maybe not that long ago, maybe 2016. I was into the whole digital marketing thing and wanted to learn how to make websites, and WordPress was the obvious kind of starting point, I guess. So I, you know, got started with page builders and stuff like that. And for a while, like in 2017 and 18, I was running, actually in 19, sorry. I was running a digital marketing agency and helping to build websites for clients and stuff like that. And then I got kind of sick of it towards 2019. And I was like, maybe I should try building a plugin instead, you know, like as people often do, right? They transition from agency to trying to build a business around software. And so I followed that same path. It's proven both really fun, but really difficult, like way more difficult than I imagined. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
That's awesome. Oh, and go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, like, one of the coolest things was, so prior to actually starting the plugin, I'd never really been very tapped into the WordPress community. But I did a lot of that in 2020. And it's been so awesome, like just getting to know people, and the number of people who have just like randomly reached out to help has been like crazy, like just not normal. And it's something that I appreciate so much.
It is an amazing community. I am blessed every day. I'm just in awe of how I have a career because of this open source software, and how I have just a community because of it as well. So I completely agree with you on that. And your product, but we're going to talk about it a little more in depth in a little bit, but it looks actually really phenomenal, and I'm super impressed with what you've done. So
thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So when you look at websites, so you've built websites obviously in the past, and we all look at websites, and when you are in our business, we're a little more critical of what we see, maybe perhaps. What are some things that you think that we often skip or overlook as builders, designers, developers, that ultimately make websites better for the end user?
I guess design. Mm-hmm. This is, like, I mean, one of the critiques that people often have with WordPress is that it looks kind of old and clunky. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not, I mean, yes, maybe the backend doesn't look as shiny as something that was built this year, right, or last year. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that a lot of web design that comes from WordPress, like a lot of older themes and stuff, like also look old. And it's unfortunate, right, because you can just download the like a newer theme, or you can use like one of the default themes, right, like 2020 or 2021, and like your website immediately looks so much nicer. Yeah, so I kind of wish that people would have like think more about the design of their websites, I guess, like make it a bit cleaner, make it a bit easier to use. Yeah,
that makes sense. It's interesting because everybody that comes on the show has something different to add, and everybody's point is valid. There are so many things that we can all be focusing on to build, like, you know, the perfect website, if there is such a thing. Absolutely. When you think back over the years that you've been working with WordPress, is there something that you wish you had known earlier in your WordPress career that you've learned since that you think, man, if I knew that earlier, my life would have been so much easier?
I think I still don't know a lot. like there's so many things that I should be doing that I just don't really bother. Like, I don't know, I feel like my WordPress security could be better. I could like put in more effort into backups and things like that. Yeah. So I don't know. I think
that's good. No, that's fine. We don't have to have an in-depth answer for everything. So no, that's perfectly fine, and that makes a lot of sense actually. I know that we were talking earlier that you haven't been to a lot of WordCamps or things, but certainly you've, and this last year has meant that there aren't a lot of WordCamps, at least in-person WordCamps. But when you think back over what you've attended, online events that you've been to, and the community in general, is there a particular moment or something you heard or somebody you met that really made a difference to you? Kind of like, you know, I would say like the aha moment or something that really inspired you.
Well, let me talk about the first WordCamp that I went to, the first and last. So that was, I think, 2017, maybe. And it was held in Singapore. I think it was a WordCamp or maybe Southeast Asia or something. I know a bunch of people from around the region attended as well. Yeah, and it was really nice. They were just introducing Gutenberg at the time. It was like this brand new shiny thing. And everyone was super friendly. And yeah, I met a friend there who ended up, like, we ended up working together on multiple projects, and we still keep in touch. She's moved to the States now, actually. Mm. But yeah, it's like, it's just nice to be able to randomly meet people at a work camp and become friends and start working together. And like, prior to him moving, like, we did so many jobs together and like so many different projects. And yeah, it's, I guess that was nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of my greatest endeavors have been from finding people in the community and doing projects with them. So I completely understand what you mean, because it just makes it so much better when you're just, rather than when you're doing something all on your own. So I want to talk a little bit more about newsletter glue, because it's really, I mean, if my first thought was, well, can't you just automatically send, like, you know, blog posts and things like that? But this is more than that. This is actually creating the newsletter, having it on your website, and then having that forward out formatted in a beautiful way through your email client, right? So what made you think of this as a project? And like, how did you, just tell me about it, like what it does, how you decided what you were going to do, and what inspired you with it?
So this came out of the ashes of an earlier plugin. That we've now sold on. But yeah, so we started with a membership plugin, and we were having trouble with that, getting it off the ground. I just feel like the membership niche is more mature, and we probably needed to build something with a better unique selling point or something. And so we were having trouble with it. And then we were thinking of shutting it down. And at that point, I was using an add-on that we had built for our membership plugin that connected the plugin to MailChimp, and it sent out newsletters. So I was using that for my own newsletter, and I wasn't really set to stop working on the membership plugin, but I was set to see that little feature go, because I was depending on it and I didn't really know where to get a similar feature from. And so then I was thinking, like, you know, if I was depending on it and I, you know, couldn't find an easy replacement, then maybe we have like something here that we could build upon.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. So that turned into newsletter glue. And it kind of helped because that was like, you know, the time when Substack was taking off a lot as well. And so like part of the inspiration for the plugin was, you know, let's build the same kind of workflow that Substack enables, which is you write in Substack and then you publish it, and then it like gets published onto your Substack website, as well as sends it out as a newsletter. And so, yeah, so I guess like the combination of those two things was how it got started.
That's awesome. And how did you decide which, like, so MailChimp was probably the first one you did. How did you decide, like, what do you add on, and which newsletter and email clients do you choose? And do you have to work with the newsletter client to make it work? Like, how does that process work?
That's been tricky, actually. So especially at the start when you don't have that many customers, because, like, you know, if you have like 1,000 people using it, then they're literally banging on your door and telling you what they want connected next, right? But at the start when we don't have anybody, it's been a lot of like, just like asking people on Twitter and asking in Slack groups and things like that, and just kind of, I guess, like adding your personal opinion. So like, I really like MailerLite as well, and so we added that. And then someone in a Slack group said that Send in Blue was getting really popular in Germany because of GDPR. I think they're like super good with that or something. So we added that next, and then now we've got this like running list over time, which is kind of nice. Like, so now we're like slowly getting to the stage where people let us know what they want, and then we try to connect it. Yeah, so that's on the customer side. And then on the email side, it relies heavily on who has the API endpoints. Mm-hmm. So not everyone lets us connect to them the way that we would like. Yeah, so like most of them, like most email service providers provide API endpoints to pull like, you know, how many subscribers you have, and then you can like put it on your site or something like that. But not everyone lets you send emails from outside their platform. So like it's, I guess, balancing between what customers want and what we're actually able to do.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. We have something similar with GiveWP. People will send us an email and say, how come you don't have this payment gateway that's everybody's using in Sweden? And it's like, well, they don't have an API, so we can't connect to them, you know? So it's like, just because everybody's using it doesn't mean it's possible. But it's it's good to see, like, the list that you've developed is really impressive. And the fact that it works with Gutenberg blocks and that you can style things right in your website, and then you don't have to go and try to recreate it in ActiveCampaign or recreate it in MailChimp. It's just brilliant. Definitely looking forward to playing with it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And how many are on your team? How many people are contributing to this?
It's just me and my co-founder right now. So two.
So you're busy people.
Yeah.
For sure. And you've been doing all of this during a global pandemic. So that's been maybe a little extra pressure and things, because everything has moved more online and people are looking for products like this. So maybe it was a good thing and a bad thing that the timing worked out the way it did. Obviously, a global pandemic is not a good thing. That's not what I'm saying. But the fact that that the timing worked out for you to have a product that really helped in a time like that was actually pretty awesome. So you said you launched with a free product first and the repository, and then now you have the premium product. So good for you. Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to tell us about it before we move on to the rest of our questions?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Okay, cool. I had a hiccup, so I muted myself and I almost forgot to unmute. It's cool. All right. So we're at the part of the interview where I call this my rapid fire questions. You can take as much time as you need to answer them. They aren't really all that rapid, but they're fun to answer. And I love that everybody, like I said before, everybody gets the same set of questions, but everybody has such different answers and it makes things really interesting. So here we go. What are two or three must-have plugins that you recommend to someone building their own website?
Ooh.
I mean, Newsletter Glue, obviously, but the other ones.
probably Yoast and some kind of image optimization plugin. Yeah, so those would be the two.
And based on your earlier answer to another question, I would suggest a backup plugin as well.
I really need to get better at that.
Bunch out there. I'm sure you'll find something. Did you have a mentor when you started with WordPress, or at any point in your WordPress journey, whether it was WordPress or business, whether it was official or unofficial, somebody that you kind of looked up to, and who was it?
So I actually connected with Christy Chirinos, who's been on your podcast.
I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah, so I connected with her really early on, and like we'd have calls and stuff, and she, you know, tell me all the things that I needed to know. It's been super, super helpful. So I would say her, and just like people I've randomly met on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling you earlier, like it's so bizarre how helpful people have been. And even like people on the GiveWP team, like Ben and Matt, have been super helpful for me. It's like, you know, like I don't know you people, but like you guys help me. It's been great.
It's a great community for sure. And it's easy to find people to kind of ask questions and look up to and learn from for sure. Who is somebody besides Christy, Matt, and Ben? So who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
Man, this is such a hard question.
I know.
I'm going to add Matt Medeiros to the previous question.
Okay.
Because he's just like been also, again, like this amazing ball of fire help.
Yes.
I like appreciate him so much as well. Someone I admire is probably Jack Kittering. Mm-hmm. I think he works at Learndash maybe. He has like a bunch of his own plugins as well. And he spends so much of his time on Twitter helping people. And like, I just got off a call with him like 1 or 2 days ago. And yeah, I don't know how he does it. Like he's, you know, he has like a full-time job and he's managing like, I don't know, easily 5 or 6 of his own plugins, and they're doing well. You know, they're not like random small plugins. Like he's trying to build them for money and like they're profitable and stuff like that. And he spends time helping people. And so yeah, like that's super cool.
That's definitely a good person to admire. What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't mastered yet?
Backups.
There's a theme to this episode.
Yeah, I mean, so like I have like iThemes and stuff like set up. I just like don't ever think about it or use it, or you know,
I understand.
It's there somewhere. Yeah. So aside from backups, I've been enjoying learning more about support, like what you do every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like this is, you know, prior to this I was working at an agency, so like client relationships is very different to giving customer support. And like learning how do I talk about things, how do I, you know, like ask for more information without being annoying, because like by the time someone gets to you, they're already annoyed, right? Like they're not gonna get in touch if they weren't. And so like how do I ask them for more information and like dig in without them being like, you know, just solve my problem magically, don't
like ask
for all this information. And like managing like at which point do I try to get access to their website, mm-hmm. Versus, you know, just try to help from afar, which is always really hard. And but at the same time, you don't want to go in and break things, and all of that kind of stuff has been really tricky.
We had somebody asking me today, he was having difficulty updating our plugins. They wouldn't update. And he'd been given instructions on how to download and replace them, right? But they wouldn't update on his site. And so, you know, he said, that's not doable. That's taking too much time. I need this to be fixed. And I said, well, I'd be happy to meet on a Zoom call and take a look with you and see if I can spot what's going on. Or you can give us credentials to be able to log into the site and our support team will take a look for you. And he replied back with screenshots. And I was like, what I told you I needed to help you is send me pictures of your website, you know? So I replied again. I said, unfortunately, I won't be able to troubleshoot it from those screenshots. We really do need to be able to take a look. And then he responded accordingly. But I was like, we could have solved this a lot sooner if you'd actually like given us what we need to do that. But sometimes you just have to keep that smile on your face. I was telling you, there was another gentleman today who told me, that's a good girl, in a meeting. And I was just like, hold it together, Michelle, hold it together. Cause that's just like, that's never, never okay. But yeah, so sometimes it's not so easy, but for the most part, people are very delightful. And when they know that you want to help them, they want to help you back so that you can help them and be successful. So hang in there. It's going to be okay.
Thanks.
Of course. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've ever made in WordPress? And what did you learn from it?
Downloading, buying a theme from Envato. It's not, I mean, it's not them, but it's more just like, there's so many, you know, I don't know, there must be a million themes on there. And it's so hard to know which are good and which aren't. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I was downloading one that was good because, you know, you only look at screenshots, like not many mm-hmm. of them let you like try for free or use like a demo site to log in and like test it out. And I used it for a client. This was a while ago, but it was like so frustrating to use. And, you know, I felt so bad that I given a client a crappy theme. And I wanted to like take it all back, but like we'd already spent time installing it and like working on it. But yeah, so I think like that would be up there.
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you're first starting, to know what are good themes, where to go to know that they're vetted and supported for sure. So yeah, that is definitely a lesson that a lot of us have learned, not just you. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Probably newsletter glue, like in general.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud that we built it and of everything we've accomplished so far. We're still super early days, but you know, like one step at a time, right? And at this point, like at any given day, this is like the best we've done so far. And so, yeah, I'm pretty proud of what we've done.
Yeah, and you should be, because it's brilliant. You've done a really nice job for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you weren't working in WordPress or technology at all, what's another career that you might like to try?
I've actually done a lot of strange things.
Okay.
So if it was just out of interest, well, okay. So let me, sure. I used to be a freediving instructor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In Central America. Mm-hmm. And so I guess like that would be one of the things that I try to do again. Then.
That's pretty adventurous.
I don't know. yeah. I don't know. It's super fun. Like I want to like teach everybody how to hold their breath and go diving, and yeah, I can't always convince people to learn it, but like yeah. I always want to teach everyone.
I think I'd be one of those people saying, "I'll just wait on the beach. I'll be here when you get back."
Yeah, but free diving's for everyone. It's like snorkeling but deeper.
Yeah, I'll just be on the beach. What's something on your bucket list?
I don't know. I actually, I feel like I've been pretty good about doing the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like being a freediving instructor, I took a sabbatical in 2014, 2015. I went and traveled a lot, traveled in the States and in Central America, and spent like a lot of my 20s, I'm revealing my age, but I spent a lot of my 20s traveling a lot in Asia as well. And so I feel like I've done quite a lot already. And yeah, and like even just like the luxury of being able to be like, you know, I've like run my agency for a while, which I've enjoyed, and I want to move into plugins and try that. Like, I feel like even that's a luxury. And so I feel like I've been kind of just doing what I enjoy like all this while. So
that's wonderful.
I don't have a bucket list, I guess. I just try to do it straight away.
I love it. That's awesome. Things on my bucket list are things that I can't just do, like things that I have to find a way to accomplish. Like I want to give a TED talk, and you can't just go, I'm going to hop on a plane and give a TED talk. You know, I wanted to write a book, so I made it a point to write a book. So those are kinds of things that I've worked on. Still haven't done the TED talk thing, but I've crossed a lot of things off my list too, just because, yeah, there's no time like the present, right? Let's get stuff done. If you want to do it, find a way to make it happen.
What book are you, did you, have you written or are you writing or?
I wrote it. So the title is really unfortunate given COVID, because the book is called A Good Firm Handshake and Other Essential Business Tips. And we may never shake hands again, but.
That's not true.
I just do elbow bumps or things, right? But I had been a blogger for the local newspaper, a business blogger. And my best friend wrote a book. And I said, I was so jealous, not in a critical way, but I was just envious of the fact that she had done this thing that I'd always wanted to do, but I just never knew what to write. And she said, well, you practically have it written already. Just take all those blog posts, turn them into chapters. And so that's exactly what I did, is all the business advice I'd been writing for the newspaper. It took a year to, you know, because you can't have a chapter with 350 words or 400 words. So, you know, I fleshed them out and really added to them, did a gap analysis to figure out what things I really should include that hadn't written about before. And then I self-published it through Amazon. So I have a book.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a big bestseller or anything, and I've never actually tried much marketing it. So I actually donated a PDF of it to Big Orange Heart, which you may have heard of. Yeah. And so right now, if anybody gives a donation to Big Orange Heart, they get a PDF copy of the book for free as a thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I could use it for good. Yeah, for sure. Hopefully people learn a little something about it. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was fun. And now I want to write a novel, because that just sounds like, you know, something different. I just don't know what to write about yet. But it's coming someday.
What genre? Sorry, I'm like super into books. So no. What genre would you write about?
Historical fiction is like my favorite thing to read and do. So yeah, so maybe we'll see. I started one a few years ago and then I got 3 chapters in and was like, this is drivel. I have to find something else. Like even I wouldn't read this.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, it is. It's like the first chapter I thought it was riveting. And then other people read it and they were like, yeah, it's okay. And I was like, okay, maybe I should write about business. So that's what I did. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that people in the WordPress community might not know about.
I can hold my breath for a really long time. Really? I can't show you, but the maximum time that I've held my breath for is 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Holy cow, 30 seconds and I'm like gasping for air. So that's super impressive. Okay, I'm going to let you totally have that as a talent because that totally is a talent for sure. Before we get to the last question, which is just to tell us how we can find you, I do want to show you something. So I don't know if you saw me like fidgeting around to the off to the side here, but you talked about Christy Chirinos before. I had posted something really ridiculously silly that I found on Amazon. And I was like, hey, should I add this to my Amazon wish list? And she's like, I want to see your wish list. And so she actually sent me this. And so it's just all the pieces.
It's like cute, but really creepy at the same time.
Exactly. So if you're listening and you're not seeing, it's the squirrel hands and a squirrel head that fit over your fingers and make like a little puppet and your hand is the body. And it's super creepy, but it's so much fun. And sometimes I'll just do like this to my coworkers and freak them out. So that was Christy surprising me for Christmas. And that's just the awesome person that she is. Is there anything else you want to share with us today before we get your details?
No. That awesome. Was, yeah, super fun.
Yeah, it was great to have you. So much fun to meet you. And we've been following each other on Twitter. Now it's nice to actually meet you, you know, face to face halfway around the world, which is always, I just love technology and how it allows us to do that for sure. So tell us how we find you. So I think it's newsletterglue.com, right? That's your website. Yep. Okay. And where do we find you on Twitter and wherever else you want to let us know?
It's Newsletter Glue on Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. You can find me personally at Leslie_pizza on Twitter. So Lesley underscore pizza, PIZZA. And I'm Leslie Pizza like everywhere else as well. So I think my website is leslie.pizza. So if you Google Leslie Pizza, I'm going to come up.
So you like pizza. And I saw on your website that you also like Frisbee. So there's like,
yeah.
So you're still a college kid, basically. It's okay. I like pizza too. So I don't play Frisbee. I just turn it over and use it like a plate to hold all my pizza.
That works.
That works too, right? Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you. I'm so grateful that you were here. And I'm definitely going to be checking out Newsletter Glue and look forward to playing with it and learning a little bit more. So thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
It's really my pleasure.
I had a lot of fun being here.
I'm so glad. You made me laugh. My face hurts a little bit from smiling so much. So definitely a successful interview. So thank you so much. And until next time, we'll see everybody on the next episode.